You know, in 2 weeks from now, we'll be celebrating Palm Sunday. And 1 week later, it'll be Easter, Resurrection Sunday. You know, on Palm Sunday, many Christians celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And what we do is do processions, and we have the palms, and we, as we sing, we wave them and so forth. So we're celebrating, and other people celebrate differently, but we celebrate his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But that triumphal entry occurred 1 week before he died, before he was crucified and took our place. So Lord, we thank you for that. Now, if you were to read the Word of God, you will find that the Palm Sunday event takes place in all the four Gospels. In Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11, Mark 11, verses 1 through 11, in Luke 19, verses 28 through 44, in John 12 through 19. I'll be reading from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. And you'll say, well, it's kind of early. You're a week, 2 weeks ahead. Well, this is the message the Lord gave me. So, Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. And when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there in a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has a need of them. And immediately he will send them. And this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went, and they did just as Jesus had told them, and brought back the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Now most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting leaves, branches from the trees, and spreading them on the road. The crowds going ahead of him, and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He would have been pleased with Waylon this morning. Amen. I was just waiting for Waylon to start dancing myself, but praise God. He gave us a model of what we should be doing. It says, Hosanna in the highest. And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? And the crowds were saying, well, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Now we have a question that's arisen here. Who is this? And there's two possible attitudes in asking the question. And we can see that in the Word of God, that there was the current in different occasions. We read in John 7, verses 11 through 12, he says, so the Jews were seeking him at the feast and were saying, where is he? Much the same question. There was much grumbling among the crowds concerning him. Some were saying, he is a good man. Some were saying, he is a good man. Others were saying, no, on the contrary, he leads the people astray. So obviously you have two different attitudes towards the question. Now, the question could have been asked in a tone of contempt and derision, and we know that. And as they were looking down on Jesus, hear the scorn in their voices. Who is this? You can hear the sneer and the contempt and their voices as they arrogantly dismiss Jesus. Among those in the crowd, most likely, were those who wanted to see Jesus out of their life. Scripture informs us that the Jews were plotting to kill him. It was a known fact even among the people. In John 7, verses 1 in verse 25, after these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. In verse 25, it says, so some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, is this not the man whom they are seeking to kill? So it was quite evident, quite known, that they wanted to kill Jesus. Why? Because he was upsetting their religious attitudes. Who is this? Who can cause people to take off their coats and lay them on the ground so his donkey could walk over them? Who is this for whom people would tear branches off the trees to create a carpet? There's a second attitude that we need to talk about towards the question we can hear in the responses from another part of the crowd. In Matthew 21, verses 9 through 11, it says, the crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Obviously, this part of the crowd was very excited to see Jesus. On the other hand, we had those who were not excited at all. In fact, as the word says, they wanted to kill him. But did you know, and do you know, that these two same attitudes remain the same today? There are those who love Jesus, who are excited about him, who are overwhelmed with him, and there are those who could care less. If Jesus was out of their life completely, if they never heard of Jesus, they would be happy. Who is this? Who is able to achieve such marvelous things as we read in God's word? And even in our own lives, he does marvelous things. You know, Jesus asked the question to his disciples, who do men say that I am? And the best that they could say was, well, some say you are Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, or another prophet. That was their answer. That was as far as their mind could comprehend. What they said was not wrong, but it was insufficient. The answer from the crowd, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And what they were saying was not wrong either, but it was also insufficient. And this is one place where we need to thank the Apostle Peter, who declared, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds to him and says, Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. In other words, Peter had no clue either until that moment that God the Father revealed it to him, who Jesus was and is. It wasn't something that Peter came up with on his own. It was the Spirit of God who revealed this truth to him, and he proclaimed it. And that answer is sufficient. He is God. Who is this Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked. He's the Son of God. He's the second person of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the only begotten Son. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He's the architect and creator of the whole of creation. It wasn't just the earth that he created, but he created the whole of creation, the universe, everything that's in it. In John 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. He is the victor over sin, over hell, over death, and over the grave. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. He is the one about whom John the Baptist preached in the wilderness. He's the one whose birthplace in Bethlehem was foretold by Micah the prophet. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley. In Song of Solomon 2:1, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. In Revelation 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. He's the Lamb of God, whose blood has washed away our sins and made us white as snow. In John 1, verse 29, it says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to turn to him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, spoken by John the Baptist. He is the Savior who rescues his people from sin and death. In Luke 2, verses 11, it says, for today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He is our deliverer. In Romans 11, verses 26, it says, and so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion and will remove ungodliness from Jacob. He is our Redeemer. In Jeremiah 50, verse 34, it says, their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will vigorously plead their case so that they may bring rest to the earth, but turmoil to the inhabitants of Babylon. He is our mediator. In fact, he's been mediating for us right now. For the accuser of the brethren is there accusing us of whatever it may be for each individual here. But Jesus is mediating for us. In Hebrews 8, verse 6, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which he has enacted on better promises. He's the advocate between God and man. In 1 John 2, verse 1, it says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is Jesus, the people that the people loved on Palm Sunday. It was obviously that the crowd around him enjoyed his company, enjoyed the fact that they could be there in that entry into Jerusalem by Jesus. They cried out to him. They praised him. They took down the branches from the palm trees and laid them at the feet to create a carpet. They were enjoying him. They loved him on Palm Sunday. But this is the same Jesus that they hated, the one that they condemned, the one they beat and scourged, who was spit upon, crowned with a crown of thorns, his beard tore out of his face. He was shamed, crucified, died, and buried on Good Friday. How fickle we are. 1 minute we're praising and glorifying him, the next minute we're crucifying him. But he is Jesus, who resurrected from the dead on Easter with all power. There is none like him. He has no equal. No one compares to him. Who is this Jesus? His contemporaries. Caesar is dead and forgotten, but Jesus still sits on the throne. The high priest Caiaphas, who schemed to have him killed, is a minor footnote in history, but Jesus remains the central figure in the world today. Then there's Pontius Pilate, who washed his hands with water, but Jesus washed my soul and your soul clean with his precious blood. And then there was Judas, who got 30 pieces of silver and then committed suicide. But Jesus, who was crucified and died and buried, now sits at the right hand of God in heaven. Who is this? I don't know if we've ever sung this song here, but it's a triumphant hymn. It says, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. That's who he is. Lord of all. Lord of all. Lord over me, over you. He is God Almighty. In Genesis 49, verse 25, it says, from the God of your father who helps you, and by the Almighty who blesses you, whose blessings are heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast out of the womb. He is the great I am. Exodus 3, verse 14, it says, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent you. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 15, which he will bring about at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the eternal King. 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, it says, now to the King of eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. In Acts 17, verses 24, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I usually add in everything in between. Revelation 22, verse 13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the Christ. In Mark 8, verse 29, and after he had continued questioning them, but who do you say I am? And Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. And he is the Messiah. In Daniel 9, verses 25 through 26, and so you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, the prince there, will be 7 weeks and 60. Prophetic word from Daniel. He is the King of the Jews. It's kind of interesting that the Jews did not proclaim him as king, but a Gentile, Pontius Pilate, had a sign specifically for the cross and specifically announcing that Jesus was the King of the Jews. In John 19, verse 19, Pilate also wrote, an inscription and put it on the cross. It was written, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. And it's kind of interesting that the Jews themselves came and said, don't put that sign on there. And Pilate says, I have spoken. He is light of the world. In John 8, verse 12, when Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14, 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the bread of life. In John 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. He is the Word. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the Amen. In Revelation 3:14, it says to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. He is the Amen. He is the author and finisher of our faith. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, of the throne of God. Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our profession. In Hebrews 3:1, it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He's the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfailing crown of glory. He's the chief cornerstone. In Ephesians 2:20, it says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. He's the head of the church. In Colossians 1:18, he is also head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. He is the bridegroom coming for his bride. In John 3:29, he says, for he who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. You know, he is the Lord of the past. He is Lord of the present. He is Lord of the future. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the Lord of the living and the dead. In Romans 14:9, for to this, and Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of death and of the dead and of the living. He is the Lord who pursues you wherever you go, wherever you are. His love abounds towards you. Psalm 139, your opportunity to read that on your own. He is the captain of the host of the Lord. Joshua 5, verse 14. He said, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? He is the Lord of all. In Acts 9, in Acts 10, verse 36, the word which he sent was by the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. There will still be an opportunity these days that somebody will come up to you and ask you, who is this Jesus? They may come up to you with contempt for Jesus or amazed by Jesus. But there's one thing you can tell them for sure. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But most importantly, is that we proclaim Jesus as my Lord and my God. Our hope is built on this song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We brought to you this morning some, and I say some, of the names of Jesus, of who he is. Who is this Jesus? He is Lord. There's much more in the Word of God of who he is, but know in your heart who he is. Let the names of Jesus be buried into your heart, that you may know who he is. Amen.